Hey, everybody. Welcome to our 2014 year in review wrap up. Back. Boy, have we got a huge, gigantic show today. Because it's the beginning of 2015, and also a week, because, start the year off right and skip our first show. And we still got to wrap up 2014. Just like everybody, right? Just like anybody else. 2014 was a great year. Many victories were had. As were many defeats. Many, many difficult defeats. So what we're going to do today is kind of wrap up 2014 so that we can start fresh, start anew in 2015. I've got my top five lists here of top five things. I also have a very special announcement. One of our announcements of many five announcements is going to be the winner of Helpful Snowball 2013. Not only will it be announced who the winner is, but their prizes will be announced as well. So stay tuned for that. The two of you who participated will have to listen to the whole show to hear. So I assume you're still listening, but we'll find out. And if I offend one or both of you with my decision, well, thanks for listening to this last one, and go fuck yourselves. So without further ado, let's get started with our first category. Our first category today is a top five of 2014. And here we go. It's 2014 top five things about Demolition Man. Now, maybe you haven't seen Demolition Man in 2014. I have. Okay, I saw it in 2014, 2013, 2012, and most of the other years that there are. I saw Demolition Man in the theater. I'm a moviegoer. Okay? So here are 2014's top five things about Demolition Man, in no particular order, even though I'm going to say numbers with them. It's just so I can keep track. And so I can get a sort of countdown feel. They also count up. Number one, the title, Demolition Man. Is Demolition Man the best title of a movie of all time? Some might say yes. I might say yes. I would say yes. Demolition Man is probably the funniest, yet most poignant title of a movie of all time. Not only is it a great title, but they use it in the movie, which is one of my hallmarks of a great movie. If they say the name of the movie in the movie, and in this case in the first 3 minutes or so, you know you're watching good cinema. Number two, best thing about Demolition Man in 2014 is the one-liner that goes, "You're gonna regret that the rest of your life. Both seconds of it." And then Stallone beats the shit out of some guy. What a great thing to say. I would love to say that in a bar brawl with somebody. Or in this case, beating up a past his prime comedian who's stealing food in the future. I would love to do that. But I can't because I can't beat up anyone. So I have to just live through Stallone. Number three best thing about Demolition Man in 2014... I like that Demolition Man exists because I feel like it takes Sandra Bullock down a peg. Fuck her. Okay? Every time she does something, everyone's like, "How great was that?" And I say, I think you guys are forgetting about a little movie called The Net. Okay? Where the internet was evil and tried to kill Sandra Bullock. The internet is not evil. The internet is wonderful. And basically the only thing that keeps a gun out of my face. Let's stay with the internet let's stay away from Sandra Bullock in 2015. The number four, best thing about Demolition Man in 2014, liquid nitrogen plays a role in the film. This is really important to me. As a man of science, as a man who enjoys science and the idea of science, liquid nitrogen playing a major role in this film is a huge draw. How likely did I think it was that I would die from liquid nitrogen as a child? 50-50. I thought it would either be liquid nitrogen or a rattlesnake. And, you know, fantasized about a rattlesnake that could bite someone and inject them with liquid nitrogen. Number five, best thing about Demolition Man in 2014. Otho. Obviously, it's Otho. And they found a way to make Otho even more Otho by putting him in a weirder kimono and dyeing a little piece of his hair white. You know, like a Marvel superhero, like fucking Nick Fury or something. And did it look tough and suave on Otho? No, it did not. It looked weird. And Otho was like the host of an HGTV show before that was a thing. Like, if HGTV existed in Beetlejuice, Otho would have been the king of that network. Running around spray painting in a house. Oh, this has got to go. He would have been the master. And that's our list of the top five things about Demolition Man in 2014. So we're off to a good start. You know, I don't know how many other... I'm sure you've heard a lot of other shows do their top five things about Demolition Man in 2014, but that was ours. It's special. It's different. Okay? I know everyone says that about their version, because it's like their baby. But ours really is. I really care. Next, we have a controversial category. Now, I wrestled with whether or not to do this, because sometimes... Sometimes you just don't want to do something because you just don't want to deal with the emails and the letters. But I decided it needed to be done. So this is the top five guesses as to what makes the Swiss Family Robinson so fucking Swiss. Now, I don't really know a lot about the Swiss Family Robinson other than the name, and they had some fucking treehouse at Disneyland. Or possibly world. I like how everyone will correct. That's like something that an adult will still correct you on. When I say, oh yeah, I rode the haunted whatever at Disneyland. They're like, I think you mean Disney World, idiot. I don't know. I don't have it memorized. Okay? Maybe you were a poor kid and you went to Disney World once and Disneyland once. I went many times. I've seen the parks. I've ridden the rides. I've been arrested in their secret jails. I know the parks. So anyway, what makes the Swiss Family Robinson so Swiss? Here are my top five guesses. Number one, Swiss cake rolls. Maybe they liked them a lot. Maybe they were trapped on an island and that's all they had to eat. I do think that the only other thing I really think of as Swiss is those cake rolls. So that's why it's my first guess. Number two, they may be from Swiss. Number three, maybe the parents are Swiss and they're really annoying about it. You know what I mean? Like the grandparents, I mean, are Swiss. And so then the kids and the parents are like, oh yeah, we're so fucking Swiss. You know, like they fight with each other and they're like, oh, I'm feisty because I'm Swiss. Or, you know, oh, I don't like something that no one likes because I'm Swiss. I hate when people do that. Oh, yeah, I'm a... That's just my Native American, flair. And I get all upset, and it's like, okay. Well, this is my white just being dismissive, I guess. There you go. All my bad qualities are definitely because of my race. Three. Or four. We're already at four. We're really plowing through this. This is going to be a four-minute show. Four is a pun. Ready? They're Swiss because they're so holy. They're very holy family. The Swiss Family Robinson. They like Jesus. Okay. And number five, most likely reason that they're called the Swiss Family Robinson is they actually misheard someone making fun of them and they were calling them the Swish Family Robinson because they're so gay. That's my top five most likely reasons. I don't endorse those reasons. I don't believe in them. But they seem scientifically the most likely. Ah. Now we're ready for a segment that I was pretty excited about when I came up with it. This is my top five rappers. Where are they now in 2014? What happened to these people? Where are they and what are they doing? So we're going to just do a quick Google search on some of these fellows. They're all men, except for one who's not really a man or a woman. And we're going to see what they're up to. So, top five rappers of 2014. So, number one top five rapper of 2014, my good friend Trick Daddy. You may remember Trick Daddy from absolutely nothing, because I don't know why you would remember him. But let's just see if we can find any news on our friend, Trick Daddy. Ah, April 4th, 2014, Trick Daddy arrested, enters Mugshot Hall of Fame, son of a gun. Well, let's see what happened. What do you think Trick Daddy did? Now, he talked a lot about shooting people. He talked a lot about the N-word. Well, he still has his gold teeth. That's a pretty good mugshot. He's making a very scary face and showing just a little bit of those gold, famous gold Trick Daddy teeth. Let's see. Oh, Take It to the House rapper Trick Daddy was busted for allegedly having cocaine and a handgun Thursday night. That's it. Oh, his real name is Maurice Young. His hair looks like shit, and they're mad at him for that, I guess. And he was charged with possession of cocaine, of a firearm, and ammunition. Oh, he's a convicted felon. Oh, and also driving on a suspended license. Eh, I mean, that doesn't seem so bad. I don't know, he just had stuff. I could live with that. So, on the scale of rappers, Eazy-E being dead, Dr. Dre being alive and making a bunch of money from fucking headphones, I'd say he's, you know, somewhere right in the middle. Maybe like Jay-Z. All right, let's see who's next. Our number two entry is none other than Tag Team. Tag Team, who you might remember from Tag Team, back again. Check it, directed, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. And so on. Well, this is just bringing up a bunch of wrestling news. Tag Team was an an American hip-hop duo from Atlanta. That's interesting, because I thought that... who are those other guys from Atlanta? An outcast from Atlanta? And they were like, oh, we're so cool, we're from Atlanta. Yeah, maybe we're cool until Tag Team came along. Well, well, well. Tag Team was an American hip-hop pop-rap duo from Atlanta, Georgia, active from 1993 up to 1995. So they had a good two-year run. The duo was made up of Cecil Glenn, DC the Brain Supreme, and Steve Gibson, Steve Roland, which I always thought was Steve Roland, but apparently it's Steve R-O-L-L apostrophe N. They see Steve Roland, the hay-in, who met at Manual High School in their hometown of Denver, Colorado. No wonder. They're best known for their number one R&B and number two Hot 100 single, Woo Damn, which was released in 1993. With no major chart activity after Woomp, there it is, except for two versions of their hit, they are considered a one-hit wonder. What the fuck? Hold on. Tag Team also contributed the song Pig Power in the House, featured in the 1995 film Gordy. Pig Power in the House, eh? Well, let's just see what this is all about. Oh, and also it's Pig Power in the House. Thank you very much. Let's see what YouTube has to offer us. I don't know what Gordy is. It looks like Babe, but a different pig. This is horrible. Also, the poster for Gordy says this pig will make kids squeal. It seems a little gross and sexual. I do not like it. Not happy about that. Okay, that's all I can take of that. Number three, rapper, to see what he was up to in 2014. Our good friend Ja Rule. Where is Ja Rule? What has Ja Rule been doing? Fat Joe and Ja Rule reunite on stage. That was in December of last year. I believe Fat Joe is dead. Aha. Ja Rule details plans for new music in 2015. So we can expect a new Ja Rule coming out anytime soon. Tired of being alone. I got about maybe three albums done, so I'm dropping some stuff in 2015. Maybe not a full LP. Maybe just some singles, Ja Rule says. Okay, that makes sense. We are the new Freedom Fighters, he said. I don't even know what that means. But Ja Rule is not the new Freedom Fighters. Let's just see if maybe, you know, what he's got on Amazon. Has he got some new stuff? Did that happen? Did his plans happen? Also, in December, he announced this for 2015. Now, I show his last album being 2012. And before that, he had a CD in 2005. So he took about a 7-year break from singing choruses and hooks. And now he's back and he's got some fucking Weezer glasses. So he's really... And he also seems to have his own name tattooed on his neck. So Ja Rule's come a long way. I'm glad to see he's doing well. Number four on our list today. Mystical. Mystical. What happened to Mystical? Is he alive? This is the number one in my category of, is the guy alive? I don't know. Let's find out. Mystical is headlining Art Beats and Lyrics Return to St. Louis. That had a plus sign in it somewhere. I don't even know what that means, or if that's a rap thing or just a really bad news thing. It's hard to tell the difference. This is from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which is St. Louis's number one source for news. So, St. Louis, you are fucked. Mr. Cal looks like an old man. He headlines the Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey, damn it, and something tour, Art Beats and Lyrics tour, taking place January 23rd at Neo, which is on 2801 Locust Street. Well, that sounds like a delightful place. There's an apartment building somewhere around here that's called like Locust Apartments. Who would want to live in Locust Apartments? It's like, oh, well, I couldn't find any places open in Bedbug Manor, so I guess that I will just have to move on and live in the Locust Apartments. That seems fine. And finally, number five on our list of rappers, where are they now, is Tupac the Hologram. What happened to the Tupac hologram? Now, Tupac is dead, but what about that hologram we all heard so much about? I thought this guy was going to be around. All I see are things about how they're performing, but not. However, there are a couple stories about Liberace will be returning to Las Vegas as a hologram, which I am fully in favor of that. I think that'll be nice. Would I go see a Tupac hologram? No. Would I go see a Liberace hologram? No. But I would feel more like I should have. I'd feel like I missed something. Whereas the Tupac hologram, I wouldn't care. And thus concludes our top five list of rappers. Where are they now? Let's move on to, this is a big and controversial list that we do every year. The five worst people of 2014. Now, 2014 was a time of monsters and madmen. Who will make the worst list? Which criminals? Kim Jong-un? Find out. Number one of the worst people of 2014. Some asshole at the Boulder Boulder. The Boulder Boulder is this race that I ran with friend of the shore, Nicanor. We ran this race. You run through the city of Boulder. There's a fuckload of people there. It is the largest road race in North America. Somewhere along the line, there was a guy standing out in front of a house who was standing, looking pissed off, and just saying, "Thanks. Thanks for taking up the whole streets. Thanks for making it so I can't leave my house. Da 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 da." Now, on some level, I identify with this man. It is annoying when things happen outside your house. However, this man, this motherfucker, looked to be about 19 years old. About half the age of the Boulder Boulder. So was he not aware when he moved into his house that this was going to happen? That one day out of the year, it would be difficult to leave his house for the first half of the day. Does he have the right as one man to just stand out there and tell everyone he's an asshole? I guess so. Did it make me mad? Yes. Did I maybe go back later and live in his closet for several weeks, learn his habits, and then murder him and all of his friends when they came home? Probably not. Should I have? Was it justified? Yes. Yes, it was. So maybe not a genocidal maniac. But you know what he genocided that day? Fun. You know what else he genocided that day? My personal fun. And I'll tell you what. He may not have killed anybody, but he slashed his way to the top of the list. Number two on the worst people of 2014. Roller hockey guys who go to my gymnasium. What the fuck? They play roller hockey in a giant basketball court area. It's like five basketball courts wide, one basketball court long. They play roller hockey out there because it's really important to play this sport from like 1993. They saw the movie Clerks, or possibly Airborne. They were in love, and now they play roller hockey as adults. Okay, they have like wheelie suitcases with all their roller hockey stuff. It's basically, roller hockey seems to be like the version of jousting from the past. What do you need to play roller hockey? Number one, you need grit. Number two, through number 1,000, a bunch of shit that you put on your body that you can't even walk around in. This is why I don't think roller hockey even started with skates. I think they just put all this shit on, and then they're like, well, I can't move, so we're going to have to put some fucking wheels on me. Do they have anything good like spikes? No. No, these are all protective garments. So there you go. They make little shorts. They wear these little shorts, these hot pants that are also padded. They have butt pads on the whole time they're playing a sport. Can you believe it? This is the kind of men that we're dealing with. Here's my problem with them, though. They smell horrible. My God. And I don't just mean like you're next to them and they smell. I mean the smell permeates when I walk in the front door, which is nowhere near the door to this basketball zone. You can smell them throughout the building. And the next day, their stink permeates the whole area. It smells the next day. I hate it. It makes me so upset. Like, I just thinking about it right now is making me upset. And what they need to get there is like this sort of modified drug smelling dog, right? They need to train a dog to smell people's bags when they come in. And if they smell at a certain level, no, you get the fuck out of here. You go home and you make that smell less and you can come back. Now, I know it's a gymnasium. I know people smell. But I am also opposed to people showing up there pre-smelling. Okay? It's okay to sweat and then kind of smell when you're at the gym. It is not okay to show up pre-stunk and then to make it worse. That's just putting your problems on the rest of the world, and that's not fair. Number 3. Worst human being of 2014. Some asshole who was driving behind me in the snow last week. What a bastard. He was so close, I couldn't even see his headlights until I got just a few inches further and said, "Oh my God, there's someone behind me." Blowing, blizzarding snow, total whiteout. This guy's right on my ass. I just started honking, and then that helped him decide to go around. And he honked at me. That was when he became the worst person ever. Not from the tailgating, not from the just generally being crazy, but when he honked at me. Who does he think he is using that horn? My God. If there was any justice, he would have been pulled over and they wouldn't have even gave him a ticket. They would just disable his horn. They'd be like, "Sir, you obviously don't know how this works." I don't remember anyone teaching me in driver's ed how the horn works. But they should. And they should also teach you, you're not allowed to honk at anyone who honks at you first. That just doesn't work. There should be some sensor on the car that disables your horn when someone honks at you. And you have to do something else. Figure it out. Number 4. Worst people of 2014. Anyone who listened to the Demolition Man segment and thought it was dumb. No, you're dumb. Number 5, Paul Scheer. And we're going to get into that. I'm going to just save it for a second. We'll come back to it. Because now we have a category that is the best and worst podcasts of 2015. But for 2014. And maybe 2013. Who knows? Time is relative. Okay? Read Einstein. Figure it out. So let's first talk about the best podcasts of 2014. And I decided to do these on ones that I binged listened to. Because that, to me, is the sign that they're probably the best. Number 1. Jordan Jesse Go. That's a great show. You should listen to it. I hear the theme song and just start feeling happy. That's how great it is. Number 2, The Retronauts. It's kind of hit or miss. I got to be honest. I don't know why I listened to it so fucking much, but I did. It pulled me in. I couldn't help it. I was entranced by their wonderful entry music, their beautiful graphics, and their long pauses. Number 3, Seincast, the show about Seinfeld. Do I think it's 50% just because I love Seinfeld so much? Yes. Do I think it's 60%? Probably. Do I think it's 70%? Maybe. See what happens? As the percent goes up, the certainty goes down. But it's very entertaining, and it's fun to relive it. And also, no one wants to talk about Seinfeld with me, so I just listen to other people talk about it. And reminisce. Number 4. Analyze Fish. This is a show about the band Fish. Where these two guys, one who loves fish and one who hates fish. The one who loves fish is trying to convince the other one that he does like fish, even though he thinks he hates it. Here's what's smart about this show. They decided it would end when the one guy decided he liked fish, when he acknowledged he liked them on some level. And here's what I think I discovered about fish, which I kind of thought was true all along. They're horrible. But if you just go somewhere and do a bunch of drugs, anything is fun. Okay? Like, eventually he liked fish, but it was because he'd gone to a show. You know, there were plenty of nice people there. He'd done a bunch of drugs. They rode in a limo. It was all this crazy shit. Of course that's going to be fun. You had a whole adventure, and you were on acid. I think that's going to be great. Would I ever listen to Fish in My Car? No. Would I listen to it dancing? No. Would I listen to it at a wedding? No. Like, this is the thing. There are a lot of musics that I don't like. I mean, there's probably more things I don't like than I do like. I like two songs. Okay? I like some song by Big Star and this song. That's it. That's all I want to hear. But I can still understand why some songs are appropriate in other venues. You know, and I can understand how something like a something I don't enjoy, an Anaconda, let's say, makes its way into a DJ's playlist. You know, sort of the way that you can be at a wedding and you hear "To the Window, To the Wall." And then you've got like an aunt out there dancing and you're like, do you know this song is about some guy ejaculating? Do you want to keep dancing? You can. I'm not going to stop you. But I think you should know. Anyway, Fish is never going to be in any of those things. It's not going to be at a wedding. And if it is, leave. It would be a good way to know if you should be at this wedding. Is Fish on your playlist? Then I'm not coming. It's not going to be at a fune. It's not going to be at a party. Again, a horrible party. So I think that all that show proved is that you can have a fun experience with the music. It does not make it a good music. I think this guy, if he had done all these same things and then seen a band he actually enjoyed, would have liked that better. Number 5, binge podcasts. Tell 'em Steve Dave. That's one I always get way behind and then catch up, and it's the best way to listen to it. You know, I also like they have a very antagonistic relationship with the people who listen to it. That's kind of what we've managed to cultivate here, and I'm very proud of that. So that is the top 5 binge podcasts of 2014. All right, so now that we had the top 5 binge podcasts of 2014, the top 5 of 14 of 2015, now we're going to talk about the top 5 worst podcasts of 2014. Number 1, You Talking You Two to Me. This was kind of like a cousin of the Fish show, and I thought maybe it'll be great. I don't really listen to a lot of U2. All I really know is like, name, number, and that's about it. This show's horrible. First of all, it's hosted by two guys who have the same voice. And I don't mean they sound a lot alike, and then you get to know them. I pride myself on noticing little differences in people and mocking them for it. We had these twins when I was in high school who everyone said looked the same, and they could not tell them apart unless they had different haircuts. But I could always tell them apart because I thought, that one's eyes are a little far apart. She looks like she's got a little Down syndrome or something. Just a little. I could tell. And I always pride myself on noticing and mocking difference. However, these guys' voices are so fucking close, you can't tell. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because they agree on everything, and it's boring. And also, they have these cute little inside jokes that they tell each other that are not funny, and then you get to listen to it over and over. It's horrible. It's one of the worst things I've ever listened to. And I've listened to this show, which is actually our number 3, is this show. Pretty bad. Pretty bad 2014. I wish I could say 2015 was going to be better. But honestly, I thought this would probably be one of our funniest shows ever. And so far, it's going terribly. So this is a little preview of what you're in for. Number two, let's get back to Paul Scheer, who's one of the worst people of 2014. He also is on that list because he did the worst podcast of 2014, which is the Stallone podcast. What is the Stallone podcast? It's a big goddamn hoax is what it is. The Stallone podcast is one that Pete gets all excited about because he sees it on there and it's like, Sylvester Stallone answers questions from fans. And he goes, oh my God, I'm going to download all four of these episodes. And they're only 20 minutes long. I can listen to them all today. This is beautiful. I put on the first one and, you know, he's talking and saying, oh, you know, Stallone got messed up on his schedule. He's not going to be here, but we'll just tell you about the show. And I'm like, all right. Get to episode two. And then it's like, oh, what? He's stuck in traffic. He's not going to make it. And already, just because this man is so horrible, I could tell that this was a big joke. He was running a hilarious bit where we were going to have a Stallone cast where Stallone never actually arrives. In, I think there were four or five episodes, and he never comes. And it's a hilarious joke. Let me tell you something, Paul Scheer. Not funny. You know what's funnier than that joke? You're bald. That's funnier. You bald bastard. I don't have time to be screwing around with your little pranks. Okay? I don't care for it. Furthermore, fix your face. Let's see. Number four. So we had the triumphant return of one Tom Sharpling to radio. Now, I'd never listened to The Best Show on WFMU and heard his first return show and didn't really know what I was listening to. Now, this could have been comedic genius. It could have been great. It could be something that he's done. But basically, he had this big return show. It's like 3 fucking hours. And he's just screwing around with his equipment for like 20 minutes. It was like unlistenable. And maybe I just don't have the history. And this is one of those times where I'm just an outsider, man. I'm on the outside. I'm looking in. But I hated it. I hated it. Number five. Little podcast called Serial. Now, I know what you're saying. And Serial is a good show. It's well produced. It's a good story. They tell it well. Everything's good, right? But here's what's annoying about Serial. Like, we all knew there wasn't really going to be an ending to Serial. But at the same time, I was still disappointed there was no ending to Serial. Normally, I don't give a shit if the ending of something is horrible. You know what I mean? Because I figure if a show, you know, people complain about the end of The Sopranos, but I look at that as like, hey, you had like 8 years of good times. Who cares? Who cares if the ending's generic? But when you have something like Serial or something like Lost, where the ending is so much of what you're listening for, because you're like, how's this going to wrap up? And then they don't wrap up anything. Nothing was wrapped up. Nothing was decided. Nothing has changed. Now I just know about these questions that this person asked and this ambiguity, and that's it. I hated the ending of Serial. All right. And thus concludes our list of the worst podcasts of 2014. Now we've got a list that everyone looks forward to every year. For 2014, I put together a list. I saw a little commercial when I was at the gymnasium, and I've now seen it several times, and I have several questions about it. Our next list is the top five things I do not understand about Cougar Town in 2014. Cougar Town's a TV show. That's most of what I know about it. But let's just go through it together. Number one, thing I don't understand, Cougar Town is still a show. I kind of thought Cougar Town was like a one half of one seasoner or something like that. I kind of thought it was over. I'll tell you this too. The Cougar Town like intro shows this little map and stuff on it. And then it says even now with more friends, and friends is capitalized. Now, Courtney Cox was on Friends. Maybe somebody else is on there. Are we getting a Joey? Are we getting a Roz? Are we getting a Chandelier? Who knows? A Phoebe. Could be anyone. A Gunther, perhaps, is making the rounds. I don't know. And I don't care. Speaking of Gunther, something I don't understand about Cougar Town, their Starbucks knockoff store could have any name. They could have made any joke. They could have had any hilarious idea. I mean, we're all familiar with a coffee shop, so you don't have to be super explicit about it, right? You could make it anything. So what do they decide to call their faux Starbucks? They called it Coffee Bucks. That doesn't even make fucking sense. Coffee Bucks. Why would you call it that? Why? You just took the words and you're like, oh, let's leave Bucks in there so they know it's Starbucks. And we have to replace Star. How about coffee? Okay? Great. Good one. Call it anything but that. How about Comet Bucks? How about that instead of a star? And then you could have a comet theme in there. It would be great. How about Buttface McFuckhole, the coffee? How about that? That's a thing. God damn it. Coffee Bucks? That is the laziest thing I've ever seen. And I found out after doing a little research into Coffee Bucks, not only did they call it that, they didn't even invent it. They stole the name from another show. So not only is it the worst thing about their show, they didn't even take the time to come up with Coffee Bucks. What the hell? That's craziness. This world is devoid of any sort of honor, and it's just run by prostitutes. Number three thing about Cougar Town, apparently it's coming to some kind of triumphant end. I saw a commercial for its final episode, and it was showing these like slow motion black and white, like remember when this happened, remember when that happened. And I was just thinking to myself, no, nobody remembers when any of this happened. Nobody's been watching this show. The fact that this is ending now is blowing minds across the nation. I guarantee you. Number four, kind of on the same note of how is this still a show? The number four thing I don't understand about Cougar Town is Bunhead's still a show. And number five, I think Busy Phillips is on this show, but then when I thought about it, I wasn't sure if Busy Phillips is the person who I think Busy Phillips is. So a little clarification on that would be nice. Thus ends the top five things I do not understand about Cougar Town. Okay, now we have an important category, and I had to kind of bury the lead on this one because, I don't want the feds coming after me. This next category, listen to with the shades closed, okay? It's a category close to my heart, which I don't know how to represent through audio. Like, if my heart was here, and then this was here. But, I'll say it close. Like, at the end of this sentence, I'll say the word here, and then I'll say it again to show how close this is to my heart. So it's, like, as close as here, here. That's how close. This is the top five conspiracies of 2014. Number one, Terminator movies. What if, and stay with me, what if Terminator movies are actually made by a sentient machine in order to show us a possible machine-oriented apocalypse so that when this machine takes over, we think, it's not so bad. They could have made evil skeleton robots with laser red eyes, but actually they're just kind of forcing us to work, you know, 6 hours a day and then go home. And there's a curfew and they do shoot people, but overall they're not wiping us out. What if the Terminator movies are just made to show us an alternative that's much worse? Think about that. Number two, the Titanic. What if? Now think about how much money has been made off the Titanic in subsequent years. You've got James Cameron, Jim Cameron, as I call him. You've got Doreen Kindersley, publisher of many a children's nonfiction tale. You've got probably other people all making this Titanic stuff, making billions. What if the Titanic was made to die, born to die, just like one of my favorite singers, Donna Summer, would say? Pretty sure she did that album. Maybe the Titanic was built to sink, and now everyone's raking in the coals, as they say. Think about that one. Number three, this is a conspiracy close to home. The other night, I'm sitting in my couch, Now, I know a lot of you sit on the couch, but when you're real tired, you're in the couch, man. And that's what happened. And my smoke alarm started going beep about every like 4 minutes, loud as shit. And so I managed to get it off the wall. And what goes inside a smoke detector? We all know. Goddamn 9-volt battery. Where can you buy a 9-volt battery? Well, 7-Eleven, it turns out, for like $8. $8. So I removed the old one and got the new one after a walk through the snow at night in the dark. Snowy night. Why does this machine take a 9-volt battery? Why can't it take a AA battery? I have a AA battery. Also, all these wires are in there. It seems to me it's plugged into the goddamn wall. Isn't that enough? When I plug my vacuum in, it doesn't beep to let me know that it needs a battery. That's not what happens. When I plug my computer in, it does beep to let me know, because it's a piece of shit. Okay? So smoke detectors are a piece of shit. Furthermore, do we really need these? How many battery semi-emergencies have happened versus actual smoke emergencies? And wouldn't I wake up from the smoke before I woke up from the smoke alarm going off? Don't you think I would notice that the room was steadily filling with toxic smoke before I woke up? Also, where am I going to go? I'm in the basement. I have nowhere to go. I don't really want to wake up just so I know that I'm dying. I will just stay asleep, thank you very much. Number four, this is a deep conspiracy. Why does my mom think I'm the one who made us late for the airport? A couple years ago, we flew together to the city of Chicago. The city of windy angels, as they say. It was an early morning flight, and she was going to drive us to the airport and suggested a time of departure. I said to her, that doesn't seem early enough. And she said, okay, and changed it to 15 minutes earlier. We left at the appointed time, and we missed our flight. Now, I could have done more to dissuade. I could have insisted on a different time. However, it's my thinking that she suggested the time, and we went at that time. But now she's chosen to remember it very differently, and to say that it is my fault that we were late for a flight. Serial, if you're looking for a next season, I got a tale for you. And she's got a very different tale. And that's pretty much the end of it. But nonetheless, one of the great conspiracies of our time, to make me look like a fool. Well, you're not going to succeed, Mom. You're not going to succeed. Nobody trusts you. You got the shifty eyes. We all know about your deception. It's gone on far too long. It's time for it to come to an end. And the last conspiracy, the last great conspiracy of 2014. How did the bugs follow me from my old apartment? That's the title and full contents of that one. How did the bugs follow me from my old apartment? We're down to our last category. This is the one you've all both been waiting for. We had five categories in our Helpful Snow Bowl 2013, in which you participated in. And I've decided to declare a winner and to also declare a prize. So without further ado, the five categories of Helpful Snow Bowl 2013 of 2014. Here we go. Number one, we had a song. An original song. Now, we had some great entries into this. We had Ian's recent entries, which included his classic theme song that is a strong piece of the musical canon of this show. And we had his Psycho Killer version, which was untitled. Then we had Aaron's epic musical, One Shit More. All great entries. Now, here's what I want to say about this. I had to pick a winner, and I picked on a few things. Musical canon-wise, obviously the theme song is the winner, so that kind of went in Ian's favor. However, he knows I strongly dislike the song Psycho Killer, and because I heard it, it was stuck in my head for several days. That counts strongly against him. Thirdly, I felt that the care, effort, and specificity of One Shit More was just unbeatable. So the winner of that category is Aaron with One Shit More. Great. Now let's move on to number two. We had topics. Topics of discussion. For Aaron's entry, she gave me a quiz on musicals. And Ian's was a quest for me to name five movies that I had seen in 2014, which was not easy. And forced me to admit that I had seen The Escape Plan in the theater. Here's what I liked. Ian's version also exposed me of thinking that date movies are still of the asteroid era of the late 90s. And Aaron's proved me right that I don't like musicals and can identify them easily. I like being proven right. I like the asteroid parts. So I'm going to have to declare that one a tie. Okay, our next category was a reading, a dramatic reading of a post. Well, both of those were fairly antagonistic. I felt like both were picked in order to attack me with my own words, my own dumb words that I put on the dumb internet. So for that category, I'm declaring no winner. Why? Because it's not a tie. There's no winner. Because you guys were both dicks to me, and I'm going home. Next. Next category was commercial. Now, I think that's obviously going to have to be Aaron, for the simple reason that I actually made money from that. It was $2. It was in pennies, which I think was purposefully hurtful. Again, really cultivated a spite relationship with listeners. But I'm Greed. Greedo from Star Wars, who was greedy. And finally, we have recommendations. Neither recommendant actually got to speak to the person they were recommending to. However, I'm going to have to go with Ian. Now, Aaron's recommendation was excellent. However, it was to her husband, who I feel should have listened to this because she should have forced him. Because as I understand it, when you're married to someone, basically that's about forcing them to do all the things you like and abandon everything they love. So Ian is the winner of that category. So when we tally this up, we have a winner who emerges. And the winner of Helpful Snowball 2014 is none other than Aaron. Second place in Helpful Snowball 2013 is Ian. So you're probably wondering what your wonderful, fabulous prize is for winning this contest. And I was trying to think of something that would actually be worthwhile. I think some trophies are in order, obviously. However, I wanted to do something more. I looked into giant checks. It turns out that a giant check costs about $250 and is also not a real check. So that seemed very stupid. And I didn't like it. So what I decided instead is that for your victories, because your victories were related to this show, you're going to get a little bit more of what you like. Aaron, in 2015, you will have the privilege of picking for 3 episodes of this show what you want to hear about. It can be a topic. It can be a guest that I'll try and get on the show. It could be anything you like. But whatever you want it to be about, and however you want me to feel about it or talk about it, it can be done. So you have 3 in the bank that can be whatever you want. Ian is the second place winner. I'm going to offer you 1.5 because I feel that's fair. So you can pick 1.5 worth shows worth of topics. How can those be divided? 1 show and 1 half show. No 3/4 or 2/3 or whatever. That's how it goes. That's your thanks for entering. I yell at you for trying to do something that you weren't even trying to do yet. That's everything for today, you guys. That's everything for today, everything for 2014. We did it. We're successful. We're beautiful. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all this next year.